worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Every song we could ever sing,
worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name of
worthy. of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Amen. There you go. Turn it down. Amen. Praise God. Who do we live for? Yes. Louise has so graciously offered to look after Sunday school this morning. So for those who have children and you would like to head out, go ahead and do so. Louise is going to look after that. Thank you. It's always nice to be in a body of believers that somebody's going to pitch in a moment when we don't have somebody. It's Meds and all of our Sunday school teachers are gone this morning. Thank you, worship team, being three down, but you are four up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are 3 weeks away from that great weekend of Easter, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday. This is the moment in history that changed the whole world, that Billy Graham was preaching about, that we come to church about. I mean, we like the teaching of Jesus. We love to hear his words. We love to go through his parables. We thank God for everything that he did before the cross, but it was the cross that punched everything that he taught about into the existence of the heart of mankind. And lo and behold, he went to a grave just like he said he would do, and he rose after 3 days. And everything that he said, I mean, you cannot deny it. Once he said he was going to do it, he did it. So everything he said was truth. You cannot deny those things that Jesus did in his life, and it's all affirmed. And so we go to 1 Corinthians again. I'm just enjoying this, and thank you, John, for reading some scriptures there from 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to be speaking on those very scriptures in a little while, but we're going to slowly work our way down through 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of those chapters. It's got many verses, and it's power punched all the way along. As I look at it, we could be dealing with things and issues all the way through 1 Corinthians 15, right from now until Christmas time. There are so many things in this one chapter. But the main part of this chapter is to let the church in Corinth know that the resurrection is real. It's a powerful place in history, but it's real. Some of them had doubted that it already happened, or it wasn't real, or they have just all their excuses, like we've heard all the excuses in our world today for everything that Jesus stands for. But I believe that Paul is writing here to the church of Corinth to give them some comfort and strength and some encouragement and just to be blessed in the Lord. How many need that this morning, that you just need something in the Lord and you love to get a nugget along the way, just like Paul was trying to do to encourage them? I don't know why, but I've been really thinking of the things of Jesus. And as I sit sometimes, just, you know, whether I'm driving or in my office or whatever, I am so benefited by the things of God. And I think of the benefits of God. You ever thought about the things that you have in God? Just to sit down and take stock of what you have in Jesus? I mean, to go over it over and over and over again, to think of what Jesus has done for you and I mean, to imagine it. I mean, as we sang this morning, to only imagine one day we're going to see Jesus, but to hear in that now, just to ponder upon the things and the blessings that we have in Jesus. We have got so much. You know, a lot of people at Christmas time, they get so blessed. Oh, I got what I wanted. Well, when we got Jesus, we got more than what we ever desired or wanted in our life. I love Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." In other words, we need to keep going over and say, who am I in Christ? I'm born again. I know Jesus. I am in relationship with him. I belong to a fantastic church. I walk every day with him. I can sing his songs at every moment. I can pray to him at every day. I can think of him. He saved me, lifted me from the miry clay. What a blessing it is. And one day I'm going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And you just go over these benefits. And that's what the psalmist says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. We need good things, amen, coming from our mouth these days. So that, and this is for all the seniors in our midst, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, amen. All the seniors said, amen. That's every one of us. No, just kidding. But isn't life worth living for Jesus? Isn't life worth it all? I mean, I know it's not easy. I know it's difficult. And I know as we have perhaps family members that are really think that we're off the wall or some oddball because we go to church, we carry a Bible, we read scriptures, we sing songs about Jesus. They may think that we're weird, but in the end of it all, one of these days it would come like my brother Les and say it's worth it to come over to your side. And so I just thank God for the blessings that we have in him, every one of his benefits. The blessings. Think about it. You know, we think when we go to a workplace, I wonder what kind of benefits I'll have. You know, when you come to Jesus, think about the benefits you have in him. Amen? Praise God. I like the word reassurance. I don't know why, but I've been really thinking about this word in the last little while, and I started speaking on it a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Joshua. But I believe that reassurance is a blessing that we need right now in our lives. I think that, and we were at the Long Sioux Pentecostal Church the last couple of days, and what a wonderful time it was to celebrate with them 100 years. They had our superintendent, General Superintendent David Wells was there and spoke last night and talked about some things that were really specific about spiritual things and giving us reassurance. And as I listen to it, I think that, you know, in a day and age when things around us are crumbling, I really believe that we need to be built up, built, and strengthened, and encouraged, and reassured that spiritually, that even though we see things in the world that are haywire, that there's no respect for Christians out there, that we need to be reassured that you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing following Jesus. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 29 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So be reassured today. God is for us, not against us. He's not against us. He's for us. Amen? We need reassurance and constantly of our future and of the world, the word of God's truthfulness. And I believe that Paul was trying to get that across to people, especially for the last days. As I said last week, we are living in perilous times. And he went in and elaborated on it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he talked about how the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Then he concluded concluded with all this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. And so I want to comfort you with the words of the resurrection over these messages, to comfort. You know, I went to that word, comfort one another with these words. And it's very amazing because in the Greek, you know, really, in English, we are so limited to what we understand about what's going on. But when you get into the Greek, and as we've been encouraged through our Wednesday night Bible studies to delve into some of the things of which we need to study and getting into the Greek, and Strong's Concordance is a great place to go and to see what the Greek has. But did you know that comfort one another with these words? Comfort in the Greek is parakaleo. Now, if you look at that word, it sounds very closely like paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our teacher, our guide, our strength, that when you get into this, Paul is saying, comfort one another, bring the Holy Spirit, the benefits of the Holy Spirit into your church. Bring the benefits of the Holy Spirit into your life. Comfort one another with these words. Bring the Holy Spirit into the depth of the Word of God. Bring the Holy Spirit, that part of what we have in the Holy Spirit, bring it into the preaching, the teaching, the loving, the giving, the things that we do in the Holy Spirit. So be built up today, church, and be encouraged and reassured. Amen? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, are you there? Are you sure? Could you give me a down arrow, Wendy? I don't know what's going on with this. Battery's okay in this. I checked it. It's maybe just new. We got a new software in place. And over in Long Sioux last night, they wanted to show a PowerPoint presentation, and the laptop went, and so Pastor Steve ran into his office while we're singing one of the songs, came back out, put his laptop in, wouldn't work. They wanted to show some rolling pictures of over the years of Long Sioux Pentecostal Church, and he said, you know, 100 years ago they didn't have technology, and now we have technology and it still doesn't work. Amen. Praise God. So are we better ahead with all the technology we have if it doesn't work? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read to you from verses 20 to 28, if you would allow me to do that. And if you don't have the word, there it is, okay. Oh, no, went, no, technology, right? Verse 20 says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, as we're just going to look at some few things here in this word, I ask the Holy Spirit just to give us a depth, a direction, and say something through my lips in this time together, Lord, that somebody would be encouraged and reassured that their faith in you is sound and it's biblical and it's something they need to hold on to, Lord. So I praise you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There were some in the Corinthian church, as I said, who taught there is no resurrection from the dead. And that is sad when we can get to a place where we know something is biblical, but yet we don't believe it. You know, to have the Bible before us and to read it through and to actually say, I don't believe it. And to not believe that Jesus died upon a cross is sad. To not believe that he rose from the grave is a sad place to be, because this has happened in history. And a lot of people say that, well, I don't think that it could happen. I don't see how anybody could rise from the grave. Well, there's a lot of things that we don't know about in this world. You know, somebody says that Japan is a very nice place to visit and go to. Somebody says Australia is a very nice place to visit and go to. Well, I've never been to them, so I don't believe you. We could say that, right? I mean, you say it's a nice place. I don't believe you. It's because I've never been there. I think just as Billy Graham preached, you know, if you want to know the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to take a step in. You can't just say, well, I don't believe. I don't believe. I don't believe. You got to say, well, maybe it's a little bit of faith that I need to believe. And you got to step in and say, well, maybe Jesus Christ is real. I'm going to try this out. And I've told many people to do this. Just don't have a disbelieving spirit. Try it. When you try it, it's like Hostess potato chips or Ruffles or all those things. Try one. I bet you can't eat one. I bet you can't eat or just read John chapter 1 and stop there. You'll keep going because you start getting hungry for more of the Word of God. And they'll realize that there's a lot of stuff going on here of which I never knew about. Because a lot of people who condemn Jesus never ever read the Bible. And so they're just condemning something that they don't know anything about. You know, if somebody reads the Bible and then goes through and says, I don't believe it, then we have a little bit of take notice. Well, what didn't you believe that you read? And then you go through and help them. See, I believe that when Paul heard about there's somebody in the church at Corinth who didn't believe in the resurrection, he said, man, this is something we've got to deal with. This is something that we've got to face head on. We just can't say, oh, okay, well, they're sitting in one pew, and we'll just ignore them, and we'll stay away from them, and we'll keep them in that little box. He said, if there's a doctrine that started here in part of the church, we got to make sure it doesn't spread to the church. Because things like that can really take a hold of a church and really, you know, tear it down. So he wanted to take on this terrible error to ensure that the doctrine of the resurrection is firmly planted in the hearts and the minds of the church at Corinth. And so that's why he's writing this letter in all of chapter 15, which deals with the resurrection, that there is nothing like the resurrection anywhere else. No, not in all the world. For Paul gives them something of which he had received from the Lord himself. He met with Jesus on that road to Damascus. So he knows he's alive. And so as you go through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all those verses, it lays out the groundwork for all to understand that the resurrection is a reality. It is real. It's real. It's factual. It is very truthful, which we will all one day happen and go through in this life. If you don't believe in the resurrection, don't you want to be involved in the resurrection one day? Anybody, you see, can die on a cross. Anybody can die on a cross. In fact, when Jesus died upon the cross, there was a criminal on each side of Jesus when he died there. Anybody can die on a cross, but it takes a Savior to rise from the grave. Hallelujah. The God of the universe to die on a cross, be raised from the dead, and really that separates from the men from the boys, from the disbelievers to the believers, or could I say, from all other gods to this God who loves us so very much. Hallelujah. The resurrection, as I read about it and I study about it, is a very significant doctrine to hold on to. Really, it's the total part and parcel of all that you and I believe. We preach Christ. We preach his blood. We love that what he talked and all these things. But when he grows from the grave, everything was punched into our hearts with all the truth and the reality. And so the resurrection is something that we need to identify with, as Paul did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. See, the resurrection is a future event. It has not happened yet. It's a future event. Some thought it already happened, but it's a future event, just as the closing down of our present world will be one day. And understand, just in case someone here may not believe in the resurrection, just understand this for a moment, because we need to be familiar with the resurrection doctrine, that when you are laid to rest, can I say to you, when you're laid to rest, you'll be dead. That's a good fact to let you know about today, isn't it? Some people have said to me over the years, you know, one thing I'd really hate to have is to be buried alive. Right? Amen. I wouldn't want to be buried alive, you know, 6 feet down with all the ground and the dirt above you. But one thing for sure, when you're laid to rest one day, before the rapture happens, that you will be dead. Amen? But just as Jesus came out of the tomb, he was dead. He came out of the tomb from death. From death. After 3 days, because that was the appointed and prophesied time according to the scriptures of which Jesus would rise in 3 days. He spoke it many times. He told the church many times. He told the disciples many times, destroy this temple and in 3 days it will rise. It will be rebuilt. You find that all through the gospel that Jesus said that. Destroy the temple and he will raise it up in 3 days, meaning his body would return to life as we now know it. And this same truth pertains to you and I also. As God also had for Jesus, as Jesus said, there's a predetermined time when he would rise up from the grave to come back to life and to take on flesh, even though he would die on a cross, but also rise from the grave. So also, for you and I, there is a predetermined time of which is in the hands of the Father of when this world will shut down and people will rise from the graves, and those who are still alive and remain at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be caught up in the air together with him. There is a predetermined time of which Jesus, the Father, is going to shut this all down. A predetermined time. You and I don't know that day. We don't know when the hour is, when the time will come, but it is coming. People will be rising from the graves. I tell you, that's going to be some scene. That's going to be some time when people all around this world, and they've said, well, I don't believe in the Bible, and I don't believe in the resurrection, I don't believe in Jesus and all that, and those graves started opening up. As I said to you last week, that Atlanta cemeteries many years ago used to put people in the graves with their feet towards the east, believing that one day the resurrection would happen, so they rise up with their faces towards the east, because that's where Jesus is coming from, Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives. So you can be assured and reassured of this future moment declared by the Word of God that there is going to be a resurrection morning. Amen? Paul was assuring the church of Corinth and reassuring the church of Corinth, the people of Corinth, not to doubt what God has told us. Just like Jesus rose from the grave as was prophesied, there is coming a day when those graves will open and there will be a resurrection. Do not doubt this doctrine. Do not push it aside. Do not disbelieve. There is a doctrine and it's a thing that's going to happen in our world. That's why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I love those words of Jesus, don't you? But as in everything in this Christian walk, it all begins and ends in faith. Do you have faith to believe that today? Because you got to have faith. You know, it's just not something you read and say, oh, that was a nice story. I mean, to believe this, what Jesus says, what the Word of God says, what Paul is telling the church at Corinth, you've got to believe. You've got to step into faith. Faith is something that we exercise every day. Amen? Faith is something that you exercise every day in some form. I mean, I used to hear a preacher one time say, just go ahead and sit in that chair. So you sit down. You don't check out the chair. You don't check to see if there's three legs there or all four legs are there. You sit down in that chair. You exercise faith. When you walk into a room, you flip the switch because the electrical lights will come on. That's exercising faith. It's very minute faith, but you've got to exercise it every day. You're believing that when you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to wake up in the morning. That's faith. You believe that you're going to breathe every breath of air that comes into our lungs. You're going to believe that. That's faith, to believe that every day that we're going to live for this world, just live for Jesus, and we're going to keep going. Amen? So it's got to start and end in faith. So must the resurrection for the saints of God. Last week we saw in verses 12 to 19, it was a type of figure of speech that Paul was trying to say to the church, or maybe even what we would call a little bit of reverse psychology. So he puts it out to them. Well, I'll tell you what. What if there was no resurrection? And so he puts it out to the church of Corinth, and he painted this picture of what it would be like. You know, I like that movie that we saw, you know, This Wonderful Life at Christmas time with George, who said, what if I never lived? But verse 20 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, but now Christ is risen from the dead. That's why after all the reverse psychology comes back in verse 20 and says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Let's do some practicing for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, okay? Christ is risen. Good. Some of you know it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. You have to get to that. You know, I love the things that the church over the years, you know, as we sat in Long Sioux Pentecostal Church the last couple of days, and Friday night with the hymn sing was fantastic. We just went back and did some songs from 100 years ago and hymns. It was just tremendous to really get back and just, you know, think of some of the older things. And I always, you know, reminisce. I don't know about you, but when I first came into Pentecost and walked into a church, somebody would come up and say, hi, Sister Betty. Hi, Brother Russ. How are you? And I wondered, did I become a brother? Everybody was calling her by brother and sister. You know, it was really amazing. It was like, you know, when you're in the family of God, they wanted to, I guess, signify to you and give you the words that you're family. You know, Sister Loretta, you know, they would say that. And I love that. We kind of lost some of the things of the old years that we've kind of gone by the wayside. And I think that sometimes we need to get back to those things and count it a blessing to get into them. But I think that, you know, that's one of the things. Christ is risen. Some of the things that used to be done many years ago, but we need to get back to. Is this work? Oh, it's working. Hallelujah. Don't touch it, Wendy. Hallelujah. So that's why he says that. But now, after using the reverse psychology, what happens if Jesus didn't? But now Christ is risen from the dead. I can almost feel the voice that Paul is saying. You know, let's put all that aside. But now Christ is risen. It's kind of like, you know, he's trying to get this across to the church. And as I read those words, it's kind of like, you know, I'm reading in the Old Testament right now chronologically. And I was reading it in the when they set up the tabernacle, you know, and they had all the tribes around the tabernacle. And they said, when we move, there is going to be a blast of a trumpet. And they would give the order of which tribes would begin to move first. And they would listen to the tone of the trumpet blast, how many it was, and so forth. And it was like a voice crying out into the tabernacle setting. And as I was reading that from the chronological reading, and then coming over to this, but now Christ is risen from the dead. It's almost like a shofar. You know, it's almost like a trumpet being blasted here, like we need to wake up and realize, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Shout for God. Get some joy in our hearts. It sounds like it's a note of victory. It's a victorious shout, you know, but now Christ is risen from the dead. You know, it's a wake-up call. I like that. But now Christ is risen. Victory in the foundations. You know, I think when you read a verse of Scripture like that, the foundations of hell are just, don't say that again. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Kick the devil in the face again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Christ is risen. All those things that Paul said in verse 12 to 19, how come some among you say there's no resurrection? If so, then what we saw, you know, he said that our preaching is in vain. Well, our preaching is not in vain because Christ is risen because of verse 20. It's the Great Commission still stands. The Great Commission, the great mandate of the church still stands. Our faith is not in vain, like he said in verse 14. We are trusting in the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Our faith is not in vain. Our faith is locked into truth right now. Thank God for the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, he said, you would still be in your sins if there's no resurrection. Well, we are still not in our sins. We are no longer in our sins. We are walking free, liberated, and we're victorious because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer in our sins. Amen? Can you say amen this morning? And he said in verse 18, well, those who've fallen asleep, there's no hope. They perished. Well, that's not true, because those who've fallen asleep, those who've died, saints of God, those who believed in Jesus Christ who've died, you know where they are right now? Amen. Just like Jesus said to that criminal on the cross, today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. So all of our loved ones, they are not sleeping. They will come back one day to rejoin with the resurrected bodies, and we'll see them one day, and don't ask me how that's all going to happen, okay? I'll leave a lot of this stuff to Jesus, okay? It's just going to happen. Believe it. It's faith. And they have not died in vain. They are with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I can think of all the ones that we've seen over the years. And it was so good yesterday and Friday night to see Dick Green. Do you know Dick Green, Pierre? He was with Stuart Hunter in the district office for a while, Dick Green. He was there, 84 years old, and got up and gave a powerful testimony last night. Oh, it was a really, really great time. He was my sister, when she got saved in Kingston, moved to Oshawa and decided she was going to go to a Pentecostal church, and she went to the King Street Pentecostal Church. Pastor Dick Green was the pastor there, and so she kind of cut her teeth in Pentecost with him as a pastor. So I just love that man, and I've seen so many people over the years just die and go in the faith. He's still with us, but But thank God for all those who have gone to be with Jesus. They're with Jesus right now. And in verse 19, Paul said, "If there's no resurrection, then we are most like people most pitiable or most miserable." Well, the resurrection happens, so the opposite of that is we're the most joyful. Amen? Amen. Christians ought to be the most joyful people on the face of planet Earth. I think everywhere we go, people should be saying to us, "Why are you so happy all the time? Why are you always smiling? Why are you always whistling? Why do you always look at the best side of everything? Why do you always think that it will turn out good?" They always say all these things to us, and it's because we believe in Jesus. Died on the cross, and he's coming back. He rose from the grave. Hallelujah. So we can tell him why we are so joyful. We're happy in Jesus because he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. So in these verses, there's no figure of speech from verse 20 on, no irony, no sarcasm, no reverse psychology, just a promoting, just a driving home, just a stating, just getting the facts across, making sure the truth is pounded out there that Jesus rose from the grave. But now Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And if that isn't some kind of reassurance, I don't know what is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for the reassurance we have in the scriptures. Let me just take a peek, a thought for us today in the portion of scripture that we read. And I'm going to go to these verses that we have up here in verses 20 to 23. And this could take us months to go through some of this stuff, but it's so wonderful. But Paul says here, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." When Paul says first fruits of which Jesus is, he's the first fruits, then there is something important about Jesus that we could never or should ever overlook. Jesus is central to the gospel. Central, we're Christocentric. He's the center of the gospel, to the death on the cross and to the resurrection from the dead. And Paul states two things here. He said, now Christ is risen from the dead. Secondly, Christ has become the first fruits. He's become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep, or simply put, those who've passed on to death. And at these two facts, the reason why the resurrection is of such importance to you and I as believers that he now states. Because first fruits means that Jesus is the leader. He's the leader. He made the way. In fact, he is the way maker. Isn't that great? We need to make sure we follow him every day of our life. That's why if you were to turn back a few pages in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, imitate me just as I imitate Jesus. As I follow Jesus. Imitate everything. I mean, Jesus going there, I'm going there. Holy Spirit's doing this, I'm going there. We need to follow everything he's doing. As we were told last night in Long Sioux, and I've said many times, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in these days. Hallelujah. But the key word here about who Jesus is to us is found in this word, first fruits. In fact, it appears two times in verse 20 and in verse 23. First fruits in the Greek is aparche. Now, the Greek noun aparche comes from the preposition apo and arche, beginning or first is really what it's interpreted to. In the Greek, it means the term for first fruits or the beginning. I also found in the Greek here for the Strong's Dictionary, it said it's also the formal term for a birth certificate, for being birthed or the first birth that we have. Paul used aparche in reference to believers who were the first converts in Rome and in Corinth and all the places that he went to. He used that word. So with respect to the resurrection, Paul refers to Christ as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And in thinking about Christ as being the first fruits and that Jesus was first to rise from the dead, as verse 23 says, and with that in mind, really his resurrection being so important to us is also the basis for the resurrection for every believer in Christ. The basis and the foundation. First fruits really is a guarantee that Christ's resurrection is the first of a kind. It's the first that you see from the scriptures of a rising from the grave. First of a kind resurrection that promises others will follow in that resurrection. And when we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, and I love the study that we had through Pierre doing the book of Romans, but it sheds a little bit of light when you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 23, thinking of this resurrection, because this is what Paul says to the church at Rome in chapter 8, verse 23. We also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Hallelujah. In other words, we're waiting for that great resurrection morning. You know, I don't know about you. I would kind of like to be raptured. I get a cold. I don't like it. I always tell Betty, you know, I just put me on my misery, shoot me or do something. You know, I can't take pain. I don't like any pain whatsoever, you know. I had to go in and get a tooth filling a little while ago, and it's at the front. I don't know if anybody's ever had a filling in one of your front teeth. And the dentist said to me, this needle's going to hurt. Like, usually the freezing in the back, it's not too bad. I can put up with that. But when they have to put a needle in the front of your mouth, up in the front, I was like, dentist looked at me and said, are you okay? No. Yeah, I do not like dentists, okay? I do not like pain. I do not like, I'm thinking, oh God, you know, I would like to be spared of that last moment, you know, whatever it's going to be that last moment of, you know, with all the pain, the agony and stuff like that. You know, I would love to hear that trumpet, God. That would just bless me. That would be one of those benefits from Psalm 103 that I like to hear, the redemption, the crown of life, you know, and all that. Just to hear a trumpet one day and go up there, you know, because I don't want to go through any pain because, it'd just be terrible. How about you? Wouldn't you like to have the rapture? Are we all in that preference this morning? Good. We're a body of believers in unity. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like that, you know, because Jesus is the first fruits. He's our guarantee. And so we thank God. Let me start my conclusion today with respect to this idea that Paul brings into play here about the past and the present. In fact, the reason why this subject comes up about the first fruits is because we are walking in this world under the curse or the condemnation of the first Adam. Right? There is nobody good in this world. There's no, not one. We are not good in and of ourselves. How many know there's a sin appetite in our bodies lurking around? Paul warned us about the old man that kept creeping around, wants to come back to life. We're always in a battle against that old man. We are always in a battle against temptation and things that happen in our life. We are not good in and of ourselves. The Bible says there is no, not one is good. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. I think that David put it in real good light somewhere along the scriptures here. I like, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe God wanted to see that for a moment. Let's see if we can. No, we can't move it. Okay. Up arrow about three times for me, Wendy, please. Want to get ahead of ourselves, but just the next one up, next one up, next one up, next one up. You guys will see this in a minute. There we go. No, it's the next one. Next one down. Sorry, anyway, we're going long. Paul gives us this parallel of the thought. Bring it down to the next, Wendy. Yeah, down arrow. Sorry. No, that was too far. Wow. Don't step on the gas. Don't step on the gas. Just one. No. Oh, man, technology. Oh, forget it. Oh, I'm sure glad I've got the Bible. It never lets me down. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. The one that shows Adam and Jesus, that's the one I want to get to. Hallelujah. Where it talks about through how one man, Adam, death came to humanity. You know, yeah, that's the one. The contrast of our characters, of Adam and Christ. You know, when you think about Adam and all the benefits we get from Adam and Eve, you know, every one of us, because of what David saw, and he said it in Psalm 51, every one of us is born in sin. Every one of us has the marks of the sin of Adam in our life. Did you know that? Every one of us, in a sense, because of Adam and that nature that came through our bodies, is apart from God. We're all born apart from God in iniquity. Every one of us, in that sense, without Jesus Christ, is destined to die, and to die an eternal death of damnation.
through Adam, we have been rewarded through his sin, the same destiny, the same future, the same consequences of life that Adam reaped. Adam had it all. As I look back in there, he was the only one of all the categories in the Word of God that had it all and lost it. Not one person in the Bible has had it all along the way of all the people that we read about. Nobody ever had it all and lost it. He had paradise. He had fellowship with God. He had the ability to talk with God, walk with God, and to know all that response. And he was living in a state of, should he not sin, he would live forever and ever. He had it all and bowed to sin, bowed to a lie. He and his wife Eve, and they lost it all. No other person or couple ever experienced that, and even though all mankind ever since Adam has been sinners all the way down, even to this day, we're all still sinners, but we are not in that perfection to lose it all. That must have been a horrendous thing to be with the presence of God in paradise and Garden of Eden, and then to lose it. Wow. I don't know how anybody today, when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they have that beauty and that love and that redemption and they walk in all the benefits and then to say, well, I don't know anymore. I think I'll walk away. You know, they would never experience that which Adam experienced. But I tell you, to leave those benefits of God is sad for sure. And my heart always breaks when I see somebody walking again for the world. You know, never a fall was there like Adam. We all fall. We're all failures. But never was there a fall like Adam. But paradise is what God wanted for us all. Did you know that? God wanted us all in paradise. The Father wants the best for every one of us. So if what happened in the Garden of Eden is ever to be changed or reversed, somebody had to come like Adam took us down, and somebody had to come in flesh to bring us back up. Somebody had to come and step in the place because the flesh took us down, and so somebody had to come and take flesh upon their lives and bring us back to the place of redemption. That's why it says in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, all those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So to reverse Adam's downfall, we needed a Savior. We needed a Savior, one who could save us from the life that we were destined because of Adam. We needed somebody who would turn that task around and complete the task to bring us back to the place that we should be. And the Father appointed to this world such a man, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world. He was obedient to the Father. What the Father said, he did. He followed after the Father. He listened to the Father. He went in the course that the Father gave him, and he went right to the cross for you and I, died that death for you and I on the cross, that you and I would be saved. Hallelujah. And through his resurrection, the promise of the resurrection comes to a new humanity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can I do this? Just look at this for a moment, because Adam brought sin into the world. Jesus gives victory over sin. Because of Adam, many die because of his sin, but in Jesus, many live because of his grace. Adam's sin results in condemnation. His death, the Lord Jesus Christ, results in justification. Adam, his disobedience brings sin to many, all of us. But Jesus, his obedience brings righteousness to many. For Adam, his sin reigns in death. But in Christ, his grace reigns to bring eternal life. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? This doesn't work very well. Oh, what? Oh. I'm astounded. Did it move right? I don't think so. In Christ we're all made alive. No, that's the old one there. That's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, for as in Adam, all die. Okay? If you're reading verse 22, it says, for as in Adam, all die. There's no exclusion. If you're still in your sins, if you're still under Adam's curse, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never asked him to be your Savior, then you are still in that sin. You are still in the sin of Adam. You are going to die. For as in Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ, all, say all shall be made alive. Everyone who comes to Christ, everyone who lives in Christ, everyone who has faith in Christ shall be made alive. All is used two times in that verse in 22. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. Praise God. I don't like death, as I told you, being dead, but I like being alive. I like walking. I like breathing. I like blinking my eyes. I like being waking every day, even though I go through some things that I don't particularly like, but that's okay. I like living in those things of pain because it's nice to be alive. Isn't that nice to be alive? To be alive. I mean, we think this is life right here now. Can you imagine what life will be in heaven? Wow. We think we got life here. Wow. I can only imagine one day when I'm with Jesus. Hallelujah. And all of these senses is ours. All the senses that we have in Adam are dead. Do you ever notice that when you talk to somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ, that their senses are dead? Their perception is not open? That they can't feel Jesus? That they can't understand him? How do you reach out and touch him? How can you see Jesus? How can you hear him? They go through all the senses because they're locked in with the sins of Adam. They can't understand who Jesus is. Their senses are deadened. But when we come alive in Jesus, isn't it good? Because all of a sudden our senses are so aware. And it's called discernment. It's called perception, whatever you want to call it. But all of a sudden you feel Jesus. Your heart aches for someone in your family that doesn't know him. You want somebody else. You reach out to your neighbor. You see your neighbor lost. You hear the cries and the pain of people around you. Your senses become alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want those around you to become alive too. The resurrection of Christ promises the resurrection of the saints, and we want everyone to have that, to know the one who is the first fruits. The power that raised Christ from the grave will raise the saints from the grave. And that's why first fruits refers to the first sheet, the first life, the first way. And the contrast of all this is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That's why Paul said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. I want to know that. See, the Jesus in his resurrected shows to us life. As they saw Jesus, they were dumbfounded. All those disciples, they looked at him. Is it Christ? Can we believe this? That they weren't ready to receive a risen Christ. But when they saw him in the Emmaus Road, they finally said, this is the one. Christ is risen. When he walked in there, and Thomas says, you know, I just can't believe it. I need to have my senses rechecked here. Unless I touch, unless I feel, unless I see, I won't believe. He needed his senses put back into order about the resurrection. See, in this body, you and I are promised death. I know we don't like to admit that at times, but we're promised death. That's why it says in Hebrews 9:27, is it appointed for man to die once, but after that, the judgment. Just as death is promised in our present condition, there's also the promise of the resurrection. Amen. The promise of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, says Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The life from Christ in Christ shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 22, Adam gave death. But Christ gave life. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? You see, resurrection gives life. Resurrection gives life. Man, you know, I look at all the technology we have and all the flaws and everything else we have with technology. Man has developed a lot of stuff in this world. We've come a long way, haven't we, with all the technology and all the things and all that in our world. But you know, I read in school in my history class about there was a guy by the name of Ponce de Leon. You remember him in history, where he was looking for the fountain of youth? He never wanted to die. He was looking for the fountain of youth. I think they went to Florida for it. I'd like to go to Florida to see if I can find the fountain of youth. You know, I don't know if you can find it in Canada because it's probably buried under the snow. But if you go to Florida, maybe it would be there, the fountain of youth. But, you know, with all the stuff that man has come up with in the search for a fountain of youth or fountain of life or something like that, man, with all the smarts and the technology and the stuff that we have made, we've never, ever been able to bring somebody back to life. We can't do it. We can sustain life. We can give you some pills. We'll make you last a little longer. Maybe another 2 years you'll get. But we can never, ever stop death in its tracks. No man has been able to do that. We can give somebody a new heart, a heart transplant, a transplant this, whatever, but the body is still going down. Body is still going down. And that's why the Word of God is here to reassure us that in all the chaos and the decay of the body, there is coming a day when Jesus, the Father, says, "Son, it's time. It's time. We're closing it down. The world has got too evil." And by the way, if you look around right now, our Prime Minister a little while ago, somebody said, you know, mankind. He says, no, it's personkind. Anybody see that? That was the weirdest thing I've heard. They've got to go around politically correct and do all these things in our world. You know, I was driving down the road the other day and I saw a manhole cover. What are they going to change that to? I grew up with a manhole cover. Isn't our world crazy? Where are they heading for? They're trying to do all kinds of things to appease or be politically correct. With all the stuff we have in our world, isn't it so easy to just believe in Jesus? Just have faith in Him. I see nothing of this world to believe in, so I just believe that, you know, today you and I need to be reassured that Jesus is coming back. Hold on. Be strong and courageous. Would the worship team come, please? And I don't know what you have there to sing. Any one of those songs were fantastic this morning. You know, I like that one. I can only imagine. There's a movie out. It just was released. I don't know if it's come out yet into the theaters or not. It's called I Can Only Imagine. Anybody heard of the actor Dennis Quaid? Dennis Quaid, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. He seems to be coming around. He was in the movie Soul Surfer a few years ago as the father of that lady that had her leg bitten off by a shark. But that girl was a Christian, and Dennis Quaid was in the movie as her father. Dennis Quaid will be in this movie, I Can Only Imagine. The fellow that wrote that from the group called Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine, he was an abused young boy. His father beat him up and abused him in so many ways. And Dennis Quaid plays the abusive father in this movie. And they say it's quite a movie that's coming out. But through all the abuse that this son went through, can you see the words that he would write in this song? I can only imagine what heaven will be like. Because down here in this earth, people are abused sexually, physically. They go through all kinds of things, the pain of this life. And what he was saying in that song, I can only imagine what it will be like. Should I dance before Jesus? Should I fall down on my face? Should I do this when I see him? I just don't know. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. Because he experienced all that pain in this life and growing up as a young boy. And he wrote this song, I Can Only Imagine. And it's really a thrilling thing to see that this movie is now taking this course to show that people who go through the same thing, the abuses in life and everything else, that you can have a hope that heaven, Jesus, resurrection, he's coming back. He lived here once. He's coming back. There's going to be a second time he comes. Thank God for Christmas, but Jesus is coming a second time. Amen? Would you sing as we stand as we sing this song one more time? I can only imagine. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I can only imagine.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
I can only imagine. Only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine.
We see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do
is forever
worship. Worship you. I can only imagine.
Hallelujah.
I can only imagine.
Hallelujah.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart be? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah.
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 I can only imagine.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's bounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I can only
praise
imagine.
God. Praise God. Can you imagine when these bodies are no longer restricting us from doing what we do down here? You know, many years ago we did in a church where we sang a song about heaven, and the song leader said, "How about five people just go out the door, and we're going to sing the chorus again and come back in one at a time, and imagine like you walk into the sanctuary, but it's heaven. What would you do?" And some of them come in and they were ripping their shirts and throwing their boots off and they're running and praising and leaping and everything else. And you know, I often wonder about those who walk around so quiet and calm. And, well, I suppose it will be nice to be in heaven one day. I can only imagine what's going to happen to them when they see Jesus, when they get into that place and just eyeball the Savior. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Come on, can you imagine what you're going to be like in that moment? You're going to shout, sing, fall down, stand up. You'll run around, turn circles, leap, leap, leap. I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's going to be sometime when I see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to be a great time. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Have you got the faith in Jesus today? If you don't, this is your day. Come on. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. I know we weren't there at the resurrection, but I tell you, He was resurrection. If He can save me, He can save anybody. If He can turn me around, He can turn anybody around. And so if you're here today and think, well, I don't know about this, well, take a leap of faith. Just take in the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank You so much for this day. It's been so good. Even though in our flesh we may have lost an hour's sleep last night, the Spirit within us, Lord God, is still leaping and joyful, Lord God, and thanking You for the first fruits that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Jesus, that You laid down Your life. You went to a tomb, but You rose in 3 days. And God, thank You, Lord, that we have this promise that we carry in our bones. We walk every day with the hope that one day we're going to be with You in paradise. We walk every day trusting in You, Lord, believing in the Word of God, understanding, Lord, that You've got all these promises and they are yea and amen. God, we've got something that reassures us, grips us in our heart and our life, walks with us every day, talks with us in this life that we have. Thank You, God, that we have You. Jesus, what a Savior. What a Savior we have in You, Lord. So as we go from this place, Lord God, yes, our flesh and blood body tonight will probably say, I can hardly wait to get that hour back. But God, thank You, Lord, that nothing changes in the Spirit. Nothing changes in the Spirit. We still love You, Jesus. We still walk with You, Jesus. We love You so very much. God, I don't know how to say it in words, but just say thank You. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for having Your eyes upon me in this life, Lord, that You came to my heart, my life, and brought me into the family. Thank You, God. You do it for every one of us, Lord. You can do it for anybody. So thank You, God, as we walk from this place, Lord. Help us to remember the gift of salvation, the gift of love, the gift of grace. Thank You, God. We love You so much. Be with us as we go, Lord, and we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now walk like you're going to heaven.